To me, good leadership brings calmness in times of chaos.
We Need to Be Doing That, a podcast that combines sports, social media content, and life. I'm Jonah Ballo.
I'm Keith Steckler.
I'm Elliot Gerard.
We have experience in ad agencies and marketing, digital content across teams in the NBA, and creative for brands, teams, and athletes.
Come on, we need to be doing that.
All right, Elliot, we got a special guest today. I'm very excited to talk to Selena Castillo, the creative director at Duke Women's Basketball. And Selena, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, I think what's interesting about this period of time that we're in, there's so many different facets to athletics and what people are doing behind the scenes, right? And for you at Duke, it's been an interesting sort of journey, I would say, with the pandemic. And I think our listeners out there would be interested to hear from you kind of what has actually gone on behind the scenes and how have you dealt with some of the issues in getting the team back on the floor and the safety precautions that I know Duke wanted to ensure their team would be able to follow and feel safe to getting back into action. So dating back to when this pandemic started, what was that like for you and the Duke women's basketball team?
Yeah, obviously first, it's great. Thank you guys for having me on and great to be here.
Yeah.
But yeah, let me think back. It's about a little over a year ago, right? Which is wild. Obviously, a lot has changed, I think, for us here at Duke, but also just really the world as a whole, as far as obviously more than anything, how we communicate, right? When the pandemic hit, I think it was like March 9th. That date stands out, March 9th or 10th, when like the NBA went down. And that was about the time, right, the ACC men's tournament was being played. We had already played the women's tournament. So we were kind of in a waiting period until the selection show to find out where we would go for the NCAA tournament, which obviously ultimately did not happen. So that was hard, emotional, really, for those seniors more than anything, as you can imagine, not to have their last shot at a NCAA tournament. And we were in a very good position, our program, we were on this upswing at that part of the year. So we had some momentum behind us. So that was unfortunate. I am trying to remember a little bit how exactly everything kind of went down after that. But basically, it was a lot of unknown, as you guys know. It was like, do we wear a mask or not? And I know that's still even being talked about now. But at that time, it was very foreign. And it was really a lot of where do we get our information from, more than anything. And then, Duke as an institution with our great, hospital system and then our leaders here in the athletics department put together kind of a task force and took action right away to figure out how are we going to navigate this. So I think first and foremost, what really helped was, again, that leadership and early communication of, hey, we're going to figure this out together. We're in this together. And I think that's carried a lot of us through this time as it is. Just again, the leadership, teamwork, communication approach, right, that our leaders here at Duke took. And then we all were, went home. Like I said, I'm really trying to remember about where I was at this time because everything came to a standstill. So went home until we got more direction, right, as far as when to return. And of course, about that time, which was about mid-June, early July, was when the previous coach here with our women's program stepped down and then effectively made a new hire in Kara Lawson. So not only was it a pandemic going on, we had a coaching change, which was huge. At a place like Duke, when you have a change in leadership, it's pretty seismic, right? So that was kind of a lot in a short span of change and a lot of uncertainty, right? But I keep going back to good leadership. And that's ultimately, I think, what's helped get us to this point now where we are. We're looking ahead to next season and building towards, a successful future.
It's so exciting to hear about, Kara coming in and really changing the program. I'd love to hear, what seems like, you guys are headed in a great direction. And, through this tragedy that is COVID, I feel like it might, end up helping you as a program overall. What are your thoughts on, what she is doing to build and change the, change the whole culture there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point that this year of minimal activity, right? Not being able to travel, not being able to be face to face with people outside of our kind of bubble here, you know, within our program. And then we did, you know, the players opted out of this season four games in back in December. So that did kind of provide, I think, this fledgling program, a time that's very unique. Normally you don't get this much time together, you know, as a new staff, and you don't get this much time without the coaches traveling for recruiting. So again, I do think it's given us just a very solid foundation from day one that we were in this kind of mode. Kara, I mean, I can't say enough about just her leadership. To me, good leadership brings calmness in times of chaos, right? And there doesn't mean there's not chaos amidst all of it, but there's at least you know the direction you go and who to follow. And Kara's been that for many people throughout her life, but definitely for me personally, and then for our staff here and our players here. And honestly, probably the athletics department as a whole, just bringing in another strong leader, it's probably helped bring, you know, again, a calmness in this time here. So, you know, besides all of her X's and O's accolades and her resume and her numerous successful stops on her journey, that really pales in comparison to the presence that she brings in the present moment, right? And I think that's something that it really has helped, again, lay the foundation for a very successful program, having that presence here way more often than we normally would with recruiting games and other a normal season.
How different is she from past like coaches? I mean, I think that, you know, she's got such a interesting history. How do you find her different than other coaches?
Yeah, I think with Kara, she's younger, right? Than she's a newer, fresher, young coach. She played and she played at the highest levels and achieved at the highest levels. And then, of course, she played in college for the one and only, you know, Pat Summitt, who I just got chills saying her name because those who know, you know, her impact still lives on and grows really to this day. So I definitely feel that from Kara, which is again, a great thing to feel. But more than anything, yeah, Kara's really achieved at the highest levels as a player. And I think that's something that sets her apart, you know, referring to Coach Pat Summitt, you know, her journey was when she was 22. She was a head coach, but at those days there wasn't like a professional woman's option, right? So that's a big distinction when you talk about kind of the timeline, history, story of women's basketball as a whole. Now you're seeing, well, some of these players who might want to get into coaching, well, they go play pro for 10, 12, 13 years, you know, some even longer, and then they come into coaching maybe later than some of their predecessors, but with a much different experience, right? From the playing side of things. So I think that's ultimately what really sets her apart at this day and age. She's younger, fresher, and, you know, definitely has an understanding of my world, which we all know is sometimes it's hard to come by.
We do the creative and the production elements for Renee Montgomery's podcast. And she's talked about this a lot. And obviously, you know, her story arc is pretty amazing as well. And joining the ownership group at the Atlanta Dream and what she's doing for the WNBA and what we're seeing. And it was just announced that Amazon Prime is going to, you know, have a multi-year deal to stream the games. And it's the first time for a women's league overall. And it was interesting on her podcast, they were talking about that actually at the 25th season of the WNBA, they're much further along than the NBA was at their 25th season. So it's interesting where we're seeing the movement. I think it is good to put it in context. And I think my question for you is being inside you know, a women's basketball program and seeing what the WNBA is doing and sort of as both leagues are starting to rise. I mean, it was just a banner March Madness for WNBA. I mean, the viewership, really the movement from the NBA players supporting and getting into it, and the basketball action was spectacular. And the superstars are coming, and I feel like there's just a new breed of athletes that we're starting to see. How do you feel the game is progressing, not only from the college level, but to the WNBA and the professional league?
Yeah, I think a lot of these kids at a much younger age are exposed to a higher level of basketball. And you're seeing that with the way the game is played. You see players, younger players doing things that took years for a seasoned vet to try to kind of do in a game, right? You're seeing them talking about one and dones in the women's college game. You know, it's probably been discussed for years, but it seems to have really picked up a lot of steam. So the idea that you could have this young talent be able to make an impact in the pro leagues, similar to the men's side, you know, I think is exciting. And I think it bodes well for the women's game. So yeah. And then, you know, another thing that you mentioned is the respect that we're seeing from a lot of the, you know, men's players to the women's game. And I do think it's worth noting that respect for those who know, you know, has really been there all along.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of kind of, you know, structures and systems at play that in society, I think we're working to evolve in many ways. And so I think some of that is, you know, providing the proper resources, marketing platforms, et cetera, for female athletes and women's basketball players. You know, the women make up half of the world's population. So to think that there isn't like a vast untapped potential there, I think is probably a little short-sighted. And yeah, like, again, the stats I do like to point out is roughly, you know, 4% of media coverage goes to women, roughly 0.4% of corporate sponsorship dollars goes to women. Those are insane to really think about, right? And to consider, yeah, 25 years in, you know, the league is stronger than ever. But, and the investment, I don't know the exact numbers, but I imagine, yes, with like the partnership with Prime and all these things, that the investment in the league is greater than ever. But there's still a long ways to go. But I've always said, especially with this last year, you know, Women's March Madness tournament, is if you provide the platform, you know, we will deliver. And I think, like you said, that was demonstrated. Look at the viewership, look at the social engagement. 8 of the top 10 most followed players in the NCAA tournament were women. The female side. So I just think that the numbers don't lie, and they've probably been there. Again, that story's probably been there for a while now, but luckily we are seeing more and more interest in folks engaged and, you know, male allies, right? It's always nice to see men go out of their way. They probably were already fans, right? The general yeah. sports fan, they made what, but they're going out of their way now to be an advocate. And that's very important. Again, a lot of the NBA players wearing the 25th anniversary shirts. Yeah. That was so cool to see. So, you know, more of that, I think, the better.
I think, you know, also as a creative in the sports space, what are your thought processes on, like, you know, being a female creative in the sports space? Because I think that's a unique thing, and I think it's something that's growing. I mean, you know, we you know, love to champion female creatives, and would love to get your perspective on that. Because I think it was such, for a while, I feel like it was such a male-dominated industry, and I think it's becoming more and more. I still think there needs to be a larger percentage, but mm-hmm. people are recognizing female creatives in the sports space much more than ever before.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, as a woman in sports in general, young girl growing up, you know, I was a tomboy and played a bunch of sports and all that. And, you know, the highlights of me at a young age, as far as watching sports on TV, was 100% the WNBA games that I got to catch, you know, here and there. And then, you know, the Final Four Elite Eight type games that would make it to national TV in those days for the women's college game. So those are it's very important to have that representation. I didn't realize, and I still quite don't quite realize, that I am outnumbered, right? And that my position is kind of rare. Again, having my role on a women's basketball staff where I'm fully dedicated to the program is very rare. So, mm-hmm. and I knew of that. Again, I've been here 4 years now, a lot of transformation, as you can imagine, in both what I do and how college athletics as a whole operates. So it wasn't lost on me that it was kind of a new thing for me to be doing, but still 4 years in, I'm still realizing, wow, this is pretty groundbreaking. You know, this is pretty, you know, ahead of the curve, right? As far as what I do, and that, you know, I try to do my best to, when someone asks for help, like, go out of my way to give insight and give help, because I didn't have that, you know, when I was first starting out. And so more than anything, I think that's what I realize is, you know, for whatever reason, I'm in a position where I do need to kind of give back to the younger women. You know, I don't discriminate though. I'll help anyone who wants it, but I do have a focused effort on, you know, women and women of color and trying to show them, you know, here's how to do it. Here's one way to do it. Here's how it worked out for me. And I also share, you know, candid stories of either struggles I've had or luck, strokes of luck, you know, that maybe helped me get to where I am. So they realize it's not as far as they think. Right. So, you know, I think there's a lot of talent across both genders out there. And I always think it's the best person for the job. But yes, I do think a focused effort on elevating and advocating for women in this space is very needed. And I try to do that, you know, as much as I can.
What do you think about sort of the evolution of social media graphics and what you have to bring to the table every single day? You know, I worked in the NBA with the Knicks and that schedule is such a grind. Mm. But what is that like for you? And kind of, you know, we have a lot of creatives who listen to this podcast, and Elliot and I usually geek over some things that we see, we like, we don't like, or when we're working through the process of creation together. And sometimes it's not, you know, okay, let's get together, talk for 45 minutes, and this is how we're going to do the graphics. It's sort of like you build on top of it. What's your process, and what is something that you're trying to implement into the Duke women's basketball social media channels?
Yeah. I mean, again, 4 years in, and there's been a lot of kind of ebbs and flows, right, as far as how I do things. And then I've also primarily been a one-man show, or one-woman show, rather. So that's kind of, you know, played into how I've grown right in this role. But more than anything, I try to stick to our story and know what the story is that we're trying to tell. I try to, you know, yeah, just stay very focused on that and, connect with people as much as we can, as opposed to just like putting information out. I think that's been a big kind of philosophy here. I try never to do anything the same way twice. I try to have a very human feel to everything we do. And a big reason, though, if I just tried to start with social media, as you guys are aware, you'd only get so far. Like, a flashy graphic is great. But if there's not like an underlying story and underlying understanding and connection and like purpose, you're only going to, you know, there's only going to be so much you can really accomplish. I always say relationships drive everything. And that extends to social media and like, you know, building a brand and the digital world and all of that. So ultimately, while we have had success on social, even when our program wasn't quite as strong on the court, in the, you know, years past, it's exciting to think that now that our, you know, our on-court product will kind of pick up a bit, right, with our Kara era that we're in. That'll only drive our social brand and strategy and the value there that much higher. Because ultimately, I tell our players this, you know, when you're playing on TV on ESPN, that's the biggest representation of your brand. Forget Twitter. That's when you're reaching an audience of millions. So how you carry yourself, how you perform, you know, how we play as a program, how we perform as a program will ultimately help drive traffic to the social media world. But if the story is not being told, you know, again, on ESPN, there's only so much we're going to be able to do on social. When it comes to, again, the niche of an account that's representing a women's college basketball program, right? But it is fun and exciting because, again, we try not to do anything the same way twice. And because I have the skills to do the graphics, the video, the motion graphics, and manage the social, that's kind of the, you know, key ingredients to why we're able to have the success that we do.
And is there anything that stands out in the space that you've seen maybe over the last year, or things that are new, interesting? You know, we're always looking at ways to innovate, and the market is so oversaturated, right? Everybody's doing so much content, and it's difficult sometimes to cut through the noise. Is there anything that stands out to you, or a particular sort of style or approach that works?
I mean, sometimes I always say sometimes the simplest approach is going to be the best strategy, right? I think anytime it's something high quality, which some people say, well, what does that mean? Well, I mean, it's a little bit subjective, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, high quality is high quality. So I try to just, again, look at the quality of content as opposed to the quantity, right? you know, with the pandemic, with hardly anything being face to face, it has been really interesting to see just the kind of content strategies that are out there. I know for us, you know, we focused a lot on, again, telling the story of our new hire in Kara Lawson, right? And kind of letting that tell itself in a way. I think you're seeing one big trend that I will speak to is you're just seeing a lot of programs, not just women's basketball, but trying to hire dedicated positions for this kind of work. I think people are realizing, wow, this is very important. They might have kind of said it before, but now they're starting to realize, okay, we've got to dedicate resources to this because it's just too important to have, you know, authentic relationships driving the ship as opposed to, you know, a couple flashy graphics here or there, like I said. So yeah, I just think you're seeing an increased, people are paying more attention to this kind of work. And then especially, I know you guys know this, when you talk about pro athletes and individual athletes and NIL coming up and all those things, you know, these individuals, you know, their brands are almost becoming more important to maintain, right, than the programs. Because like I said, if you're winning games, the program's brand is solid, you know, and then from there is where, okay, how can we connect with our fans? Well, they want to know what the players are doing and what they're seeing from the players. They want to hear from them. So, you know, the trends of pulling back the curtain more and featuring players and their personalities more has probably been a good one to follow. I think the teams, pro teams, college teams, all sports that have been able to do that the most effectively, again, while maintaining that kind of high quality visual standard, I think those have been the ones that have stood out the most to me.
You know, with NIL coming, and you mentioned that, and we don't have to get into specifics about it, but are you sensing that more and more women coming through your program and the athletes that you're speaking to directly are aware and motivated to build their brand and work with you in the social channels to figure out, okay, or even, you know, if they do weekly interviews, this could be a step to the broadcasting route or a podcast like Renee's doing. You know, there's all these ways, you know, that we think are is a very positive, you know, movement towards helping athletes build that through college, not only just the athletics part and becoming the pro, which is usually the 1%. But what happens if that doesn't happen, or you're in the league for a couple of years and then you have to pivot, or your career ends at a very early age, which is the sort of opposite of normal career arcs, right? Where you sort of peak later and then you retire in your, you know, 60s. These athletes are done, you know, in their mid 30s, sometimes 40 if they're lucky. But have you noticed that trend with the new modern athletes coming through your program?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of it, just like with most things and content, is going to be based on that individual's personality, what they want, what they've already been exposed to, what resources and support they already have. You know, if you get a kid whose mom or dad played in the WNBA or NBA, they might have a more business driven mindset than someone who's a first generation college graduate. Right. So it really is unique, I think, to each individual. I think as a whole, there's an understanding that my social media is important. My social media can help me, you know. Some of it's when you come to a place like Duke, yeah, your aspirations are usually, I'm trying to go pro, become a doctor, become a lawyer. And I always say, look, if that's your goal, don't get me wrong, I'll still help you. And we can still do some cool things with your social and build an audience. But, you know, at the end of the day, if that's the route you want to go, I mean, focus on that, right? But so it's also understanding what their individual goals are. But yes, ultimately, every college athlete would benefit from building an audience while they're in college. As we know, this is the most marketable years, you know, of most of these kids' lives. So, you know, I think this, for us and where we're at as a program, I think this next kind of chapter is going to bring in a lot of individual, hey, what can I do, you know, kind of coinciding with the program's approach to push myself out there more, again, build an audience, build a community so that, yeah, I am set up right for life after sports. And that kind of fits in with just like our nutrition, our strength coaches, like they kind of work with our players to make sure they understand how to take care of themselves well beyond their years here So that's kind of a role I feel. It's almost like I know I've seen this pop up, but I've kind of been a brand coach, a social media coach, you know, all along. So some of it's, yeah, I would love the idea of helping a kid figure out how to do a weekly podcast. I saw like a Nebraska football player, I think, just has come out with one. There's probably multiple out there. And of course, I know Renee's not a current player, but I've been following hers and obviously love what you guys do with her. So I think if Renee had the opportunity to do that in college, she probably would have taken you up on it and benefited greatly. Right. So I think that's going to become almost the bare minimum, right? That's going to almost become the starting point is, you know, it's not an if, but a, well, what do you exactly want to do?
And I think we jumped into this pretty quickly, this podcast and some of the serious topics, but we want to get to know more about Selena and your journey to Duke women's basketball. So from however far you want to start back, what was your journey to this position? Let's get to know you a little bit more.
Oh, gosh. Well, I basically like to start off this type of answer by saying that I had no clue up until about 4 years ago that I even possessed some of these skills that I do. And I share that because anyone who might be unsure or maybe, you know, didn't study this in college or whatever else, you know, ultimately you can, if you have the motivation and the work ethic, you can probably, you know, get to where you want to get without having a more conventional path. I studied, I went to Emory and played basketball there, which is one thing that does help me in my current role. Emory is like a higher institution, like a Duke, and then playing the game, playing basketball, obviously just helps in what I do. But I studied Arabic, Middle Eastern studies there, and I was considering like law school. I was considering law school. And then, I ultimately knew when I graduated that I wanted to stay close to basketball. So I went back home to Tampa, Florida. I was like coaching high school AAU, running a women's basketball league and trying to just stay as involved as I can. So kind of in the process of doing that, I was also interning at a law firm. I ended up kind of doing marketing for the law firm and like graphics and advertisements. And I was doing the same for those high school and AAU teams. And then basically, I got connected with the Tampa Bay Sports Commission, which is a group. They host the major sporting events like the Super Bowl that was just held in town. My old job was the one hosting it. So some of the events that I worked on with them was the 2017 College Football Playoff National Championship, the 2019 Women's Final Four, although that was more in a planning capacity because by the time that event came up, I was already here at Duke. So the Tampa Bay Sports Commission was great. I was there about a year and a half, and it was predominantly logos, event signage, some live event coverage on social, but nothing like, you know, managing a social media account like I do now. And that was great. And if you asked me, I was going to stay there 10 years until, you know, something else came along. And that was a lot of learning on the job there. But then in October 2017, I got a direct message on Twitter from one of the assistant coaches here. And just saying if I wanted to help out the program. And I thought that meant like, I'll do a flyer. I don't know, right? But turns out they were hiring and looking to bring someone in to effectively do something that hasn't been done before, at least for this program and really for a women's program in general, right? Where I was going to come in and fully be responsible for the brand. So a Twitter direct message, a degree in Arabic, and here I am at Duke. That makes a lot of sense, right? That's exactly how it's going to go.
Recreate that path?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I said, unconventional is a word I would use there. So a lot, but of course, as always, I reflect back, like most people on their journey, and you realize, wait, things actually were kind of aligning this way the whole time. So again, been here 4 years. When I first got here, you know, one of the keys to why I've had success, I mentioned this a little bit, was right away I was like given the logins to the social and then that was it. It was just me. So I wasn't jumping through hoops or trying to coordinate with folks that have other kind of interests or whatever else at all. It was always me from the beginning. And again, because I can crank out the content myself, that is really what helped kind of jumpstart, you know, our program in this world. So I think, you know, I could go into a lot more detail, right? But basically that's, you know, how I am here. And really the first time I opened Photoshop again for young creatives who might be trying to navigate early stages of their career, it was with the Tampa Bay Sports Commission. So that would have been end of 2015. Sorry, I'm trying to make sure my dates are right. But yeah, end of 2015. So it's 2021. So about 6 years now, which is a sizable amount of time. But for being the first time opening it, that's, you know, pretty cool to know you really can teach yourself with the help of YouTube and other resources. But I really did teach myself these skills that now I'm now using at a, you know, very high level. So don't give up if you're trying to do that.
Such an awesome story. I'd like to just ask, you know, as a creative, what's a project that like makes you smile, that makes you like proud to think about? Like, you know, it could be for Duke or it could be for, you know, Tampa Bay, or even like you said, just like learning on the way. But love to hear like something that you did that you were like, yeah, I got that one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, what comes to mind is one of the bigger kind of moments so far is probably when we hired Kara Lawson. I think July 11th, 2020 was like the official day we hired her. So the week leading up to that was a lot of just, it was like, I knew I needed to be planning, but I didn't know what I was planning for. Right. And then when I got the news like 24 hours prior of who the official, you know, person was going to be, I had to crank out graphics. I had to do, what I did was a dress swap. Kara, there was a photo of her in a green dress. I made it Duke blue. People thought she came in for a photo shoot. That was not the case. So I think, and then we got a ton of video congratulation messages from key stakeholders, alumni, you know, folks Kara played with, whoever else. So I was the one responsible for, you know, representing those people appropriately and getting those out. So I kind of refer to it as a campaign. There were some motion graphics components, some kind of social hype type posts in the weeks following. So I would say kind of the whole campaign about unveiling kind of the Kara era here via our social media channels at a time where there was no face-to-face interactions and where our program, you know, needed to be revitalized. So, so that comes to mind as something, and again, how cohesive it was between our, like the goduke.com content, the social content, you know, it was just all very cohesive and fun to see that kind of play out. So I would say that is something that, I was proud of, you know, how we were able to execute that. Yeah. And it's going on almost a year ago, which is crazy because it does not feel that long ago.
Well, it's an amazing story. We salute you. You wear a lot of hats and you do it really well. We're a fan of Duke women's basketball social channels. And I think it'd be great if you could tell our listeners out there where to follow you. I think some of the messages that you've delivered in this podcast are really good for young creatives. Again, I feel very passionate about that too, that it doesn't have to be this conventional path and don't feel like you can't do it. Try it and work on it every single day and you can get to places maybe you didn't think you could get to. And so it's inspiring to hear that. So let's find out where folks can follow you on social media.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. It's just my name. But with an R in the middle, my middle initial. So Selena R. Castillo, Twitter, Instagram, probably the best places to start. My DMs are open. So, you know, definitely receptive to messages, questions, whatever else. I just remind folks, you know, I got this opportunity here with Duke because of a direct message on Twitter. So I'm not saying you have to, you know, post 40 times a day or anything like that on your personal pages, but they are powerful tools. And, you know, it does all it takes is one person seeing the right thing at the right time. And all of a sudden you have an opportunity you never could have, you know, imagined. So that's very real. But yeah, so Selena R. Castillo, Twitter, Instagram, that's also SelenaRCastillo@gmail.com. If anyone wants to shoot an email.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today and best of luck, right? The new season's upon us soon. Yeah. And we'll keep an eye on Kara and the squad.
The Kara era. I love it.
That's a wrap for this week. Thanks for listening to the We Need to Be Doing That podcast. Visit WeNeedToBeDoingThat.com for more episodes and contact information.